You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 10 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, Viv Govender, markets. I want to touch on systemic default risk out of China. That used to be a big worry in global markets. Seems to have gone away. But then the China Evergrande group suddenly sort of went into tailspin yesterday. Should we be worried? Stanlib, they've got a Pan-African debt fund offering US dollar yield. And then talking Solana, we have Kieran Ryan and Sean Saunders. How do they decide which else to put onto it? How do we get to it? What is it and why should we be interested? This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Sanlam exits UK business. Another SA company trying their hand offshore. Sometimes it's Australia, sometimes it's Nigeria, sometimes it's the UK, and falling short. Business Day, Steinhoff says liquidation could destroy settlement process. If former Techie Town owners are successful in their case, many creditors would not be paid. It's not an unfair comment. I mean, it would totally destroy the settlement process. Absolutely, it would. Morning markets. US was red. S&P off 0.5%. NASDAQ down 0.4%. Asia is green. Sydney up 0.4%. Tokyo up 1.1%. Commodities mostly green overnight. Gold, $1,801 an ounce. Rand, 1419. Top 40 opening call, about 240 points to the green, which is what that, about 0.45%. That as Tencent trading 1.7% up in the lunch break in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Viv Govender, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss. Viv, I want to chat around the China, perhaps systemic risk. Before I do, a really rough day on the JSE. It's been a rough couple of days on the JSE. Even we're seeing some red in US markets. I mean, should we be worried, or is this just markets will go down at points and that's how they operate? Or do you get a sense there's something bigger at play? Certainly, there were more concerns around process and NASPAS yesterday.
I think the process and NASPAS situation continues to be, ongoing. I mean, at the first when it started off, I was thinking, I think like most people are thinking that it was basically, the Chinese Communist Party trying to show these little tech upstarts who's boss and, basically saying this is being in charge. But it does seem to be, it's more of a kind of a moral renewal kind of thing that they're going through. The stuff that they've done around, gaming is just part of a whole wider thing. They've got this concept about what they call, it was feminized or feminine men, not being, shown as idols. They're going after celebrities that they're calling social tumors. So it's something that's beyond just what I thought was a bit of a power play. And the problem with that is that you never know how far these things can go, And that was the issue that I'm seeing around what's happening with Tencent and the other companies out there, is that, they're going further than you would think they would need to go if they were just trying to show that, we are boss. It's more like we think these companies are doing things that are making the Chinese, population weaker. They're talking about addiction of children, etc. So I do think it has a bigger, scope than I first initially, imagined. So I never know what's happening there.
And changing tack, but staying in China, news that came out early yesterday morning, Evergrande, which is a Chinese property company, $300 billion of debt. Looks like they're going to perhaps default on it. Certainly the debt yields are now north of 100%. Broadly in terms of, I remember back in the day, and maybe we're going back as much as 10 years, large concerns around sort of some of that corporate debt in China, concerns around default and concerns around systemic risk in the system. That seems to have gone away. Is it fair that it's gone away, or should it be something that we are, as investors, still worried about? Or has China kind of patched it up in the last decade?
I think it's something we should still be worried about. The problem about what China does is that often, ideology or party policy drives, what actually happens in the economy rather than actual, proper skin in the game kind of capitalism. And the problem with that is that there's a reason that skin in the game capitalism works. It's because, you know, if you basically you have your own, you know, like I said, skin in the game, you are more judicious, you're more careful about what you do and what you don't do. In fact, you could probably blame the financial crisis of 2008 and the fact that, you know, we had those partnerships turn into corporations when it came to money of these large financial firms. And that meant that they don't have the same risk of the partners, and therefore they could be a bit more, you know, risk loving. And the same thing happens in China, is that, you know, many of these large state companies effectively become banks, you know, lending money at that they borrow at a subsidized rate to the general economy out there. And then they, you know, are very unwilling to basically go out and talk about the fact that a lot of their projects are, you know, money losing. And this Evergrande thing, I mean, $300 billion is probably not enough to bring down the system in China, as large as that number is. But it does seem to indicate that there is this underlying issue. And whenever you have this authoritarian kind of policies, you are going to find these, you know, these inefficiencies and these issues are turning up, that you'll have these, you know, huge amounts of misallocated funds, etc., happening in the system.
Yeah, and I take your point. $300 billion, big for me and you, maybe not giant in China, but something, something we will keep an eye on. Viv Govender, portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Johan Monwick, Head Crypto Alternatives at StanLib. Johan, appreciate your early morning time. You've launched a Pan-African debt fund offering US dollar yield. I suppose the first point, it's offering that US dollar yield. In other words, these are going to be sovereign bonds in the rest of the continent, but they're going to be those that are issued in dollars, perhaps euros as well. I'm not sure if you're bringing other currencies in there as well.
Hi, good morning, Simon. Yes, just a quick correction there. It's the credit alternatives business within StanLib. Yes, and extending that credit into obviously sovereign and other debt instruments. Yeah, it's really exciting for us to be able to launch this fund. Over the last number of years, the dollar markets on the continent have matured substantially. The markets are mainly the listed so-called Eurobond markets, despite the word Euro in there. It more indicates where these assets are listed as opposed to the currency that are dollar assets. But also there's quite a large and very well-developed and long-existing syndicated loan market across the continent where foreign banks come in to fund large corporates, utilities and governments. And we think these markets are now mature enough for us to offer them to South African clients, mainly obviously pension funds, but also other high net worth individuals, etc. Yeah, very exciting development.
It is, and I take your point about the maturity. I mean, you know, a lot of folks will say, "Oh, they're worried about default risk, etc." The truth is that, you know, that default risk, I don't want to say it's completely gone, but it's no longer the sort of overhang that perhaps was there 20 years ago. Certainly, if we go way back in time into 70s and 80s, default was a real issue. These days, I mean, it's always there, but it's not as big a risk as perhaps many think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in these Eurobond markets for sure, because the issuers that have access to markets and we're international investors, of which we would obviously now be one, have very stringent requirements for certain characteristics around the issuers. And those mean that the default risk has become muted, especially in those markets. In the syndicated loan markets, you still need to have your wits about you.
Sure.
In the last couple of years, the two examples of defaults that we can think of, obviously the sovereigns, is Mozambique and Zambia, more recently last year. Mm-hmm. But if you do your due diligence, it's way in advance. You can spot where there would be trouble. And because we're not a distressed debt fund, you know, we don't seek to go and get excess returns from parties that are in distress. That's not our. That's not what we're doing here. We are looking to bring our investors into these high yielding assets, and get the returns out in a safe way. And in a way that won't cause noise in their world. Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mozambique, Zambia. I mean, both of them situation specific. In Zambia, COVID-19. Part of the attraction, obviously, US dollar yield, but actually, it's the correlation. I mean, then you know, this sort of a market I'm imagining is very uncorrelated with your traditional sort of other emerging market assets.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the benefits of the African continent. It's got much lower correlation to global events. And again, we like it in a balanced portfolio because when other assets are tanking, you're likely to find these assets continuing to tick away at that high yield and give your investors the returns that they're looking for in a balanced portfolio, absolutely.
Are you targeting a particular yield? Or are you able to target a particular yield?
Yeah, we have a benchmark return that we're hoping to achieve. It is LIBOR, US LIBOR, plus 6%. And that gets us closer to around 8% in dollars, which is quite an attractive return. In fact, this is one of the highest returning asset classes available in the marketplace, even in comparison to certain equity asset classes. If you look back over time, this gets you right up there in terms of highest returning asset class. Yeah.
I mean 8%. I mean, I was going to say that's what the S&P does, but actually, truthfully, that's what the S&P used to do. It's been on a bit of a tear. And I take your point. You talk around a balanced portfolio. I mean, this would fit perfectly well into a portfolio which would have those various different asset classes and different marks, different markets, and give you that sort of an underpinning of different correlation and yield.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I guess, you know, as South Africans, we are part of the African continent, and in our organizations as fund managers, we've got an ever increasing footprint across the African continent. So it's almost our duty, I think, to look at these asset opportunities that present themselves, especially us as large fund managers, and go and seek them out and bring them to South African investors. With those characteristics and to make that difference in portfolios.
We'll leave that there. That's Johan Monowick, Head Credit Alternative Business. Stanlib, appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Sean Saunders, founder at Revex, and Kieran Ryan, a MoneyWeb contributor, focusing on the crypto world. Kieran, if I could kick off with you. I mean, I back in the day, crypto was all about Bitcoin, and there were some other little Doge coins and the like. But really, Bitcoin was where it at. Fast forward to today, and the crypto world is fundamentally changing. Bitcoin's still the granddaddy in the world, but in the room, there are literally dozens of new up and coming coins, and many of them establishing themselves really fast in the crypto space.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So firstly, good morning. Thanks for having me today. But it's really interesting to sort of see the emergence of cryptocurrencies that aren't only focused on payments, right? So, I mean, we've spoken about cryptocurrencies that maybe should be called crypto assets because they do a lot more than just act as currencies. And you know, seeing the likes of Cardano, Polkadot, Uniswap, the likes of Solana even over the last while, that have sort of really grown in value as programmable blockchains. So blockchains that do a lot more than just transfer value. It's been really interesting to see. And the crypto space has now gone well beyond just moving money around and moving into sort of this new web version 3.0, which is, you know, sort of like the third industrial revolution taking it to sort of the next step.
Kieran, I mean, you write on this, you're doing podcasts on this, you're working on a fair bunch. How do you decide which is the up-and-coming coins that are worth covering? I mean, is it as they start to move? Is it market cap, or is it sort of the base technology underlying it?
It's a little bit of all of those that you've mentioned, but one of the things to keep an eye on is how are they moving up the market cap rankings. Mm-hmm. And Solana is one of these astonishing success stories that came into being only in the last few years. I wrote an article on it a week ago. Its market cap was $34 billion a week ago, and yesterday it was $57 billion. This thing has just exploded. You think of the kind of value creation that a coin like that can accrete. It's quite astonishing. Bear in mind, over the last year alone, it's gone up 5,600%. And this is why people are paying a lot more attention to cryptos. The trick is, you know, how do you spot these things early?
Yeah.
Well, you know, where do they start joining the market cap rankings? And Solana is now ranked number 6 behind Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a few others. But to go from nowhere in a period of a year to number 6 with a market cap of $57 billion, that's quite a story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the day, 10 years ago, less of a storm. I mean, you know, Doge was there for a point, but it's changed. Sean, Solana, I mean, this is relatively new. I think 3.5 years ago was when it initially was raising seed. And it really is about blockchain and what people can do on top of it. I was digging through the Solana website. There are in excess of 300 different teams who are sort of working different payments and all sorts onto that Solana blockchain. That is the key story here.
Yeah, it 100% is, right? I think one thing that's interesting to note, and maybe this is taking a bit of a step back, because sure, people hear the name Solana, right? And they go, okay, is this a new pop star or what? What is this? Because crypto is weird like that, right? You get all these new emerging cryptocurrencies that come out of nowhere. And it is because the space is so quickly evolving, right? I mean, if you look at Solana, really, this is a programmable blockchain, which means that you have a blockchain infrastructure, really, that applications can be built on top of. So if you think about an analogy, you look at the internet, right? Then the internet allowed you to have email, video sharing, file sharing in general, and all these other features that we take for granted today. Now, if you're looking at blockchains, I mean, you've had Bitcoin, which is sort of this first generation cryptocurrency that's a non-programmable blockchain, mm-hmm, and it's used for transferring value from one party to another. And then all of a sudden, you go and you have these programmable blockchains, which are, you know, like Ethereum, like Solana, like Polkadot. And all of a sudden, you're able to do a whole bunch of really interesting things on top of them using these little contracts, really, or these little programs called smart contracts. And a smart contract is just a bit of jargon in the crypto space, but really it's self-executing code. So you could have an example where you say, okay, well, you know, if I want to have a certain amount of money transferred to my landlord every single month, no longer do you have to set up a debit order with your bank. All of a sudden, you can actually bake that in through a smart contract into the money itself. So the money actually then decides, okay, right, once a month, the person that owns this money is sending this to the other party. If you think about perhaps a car dealership, right, you can automate the payment to a particular, you know, party and all the rest. And this is where things get really interesting, because money evolves. The way that value and information is transferred around the world evolves. It's not relying on centralized parties anymore. It is actually relying on the network in a decentralized, more peer-to-peer way. And that's really the crux of what, you know, sort of all the crypto hype and excitement is going for.
And Kieran, I mean, that's the key thing. I mean, back in the day, crypto was all about this is the new currency. And that, I mean, I don't think El Salvador's trying the experiment with Bitcoin. Cuba's talking about it. We're seeing some sort of, you know, dollar-backed coins and the like. But really, crypto has, as a concept, really much it's become about that blockchain and what can be done within and on top of blockchains.
It's going to change everything. I think Sean used the term Web 3.0, and I think people are still trying to wrap their heads around this. And what does that actually mean? And when we say it's going to change everything, it's going to mean the end, perhaps, of a huge amount of work that is currently done by accountants. For example, when you do an audit, you're doing a sample of maybe 1% of the transactions in a firm. Well, with blockchain, you can do a 100% audit. So you can be absolutely assured 100% that the transactions or the financial statements you're seeing are accurate. It's going to do away with a lot of work that lawyers are doing because of these smart contracts that we've just been talking about as well. They're self-executing. There's no intermediary. You don't need a court or a judge or a lawyer to decide when these things are actionable because they are self-executing. And you've got so many other types of financial transactions which are now going to take place on the blockchain. And smart contracts are going to take over the world. And this thing is going to swarm us in the next 2 years, 3 years. You're going to see all sorts of new products, insurance products, financial products. And so the race is on for who is going to be the main player here. So you've got Cardano, you've got Polkadot, you've got Ethereum, you've got Solana, and you've got some others that are all contesting for dominance in the space. The reason Solana has been exploding as a cryptocurrency, so you have this blockchain, which is a network that is able to transact, but you also have a currency. So Solana itself is a currency, and you have to purchase the Solana currency in order to transact on that blockchain. And the reason it's been so successful is because the volume of transactions that it can handle, it can do about 65,000 per second. Now, you think about that. Bitcoin, by the way, only does 7. Ethereum does about 30. So, and they're all scaling up. They've all got problems. They've got choke points, and they're all trying to scale up. If you're going to have a system that controls, not necessarily controls, but is able to handle the huge volumes of transactions that are needed, you need to be able to do something of the order of what Solana can do.
Yeah, 65,000 a second. That is totally proper. Sean, coming back to you, I mean, you've had Solana in one of your bundles, so I could get sort of exposure to it as a basket. But Revix now launching, is it today where I will be able to buy the crypto as a standalone?
Yes. So we've launched Solana due to popular demand as a standalone cryptocurrency on the platform. And what's really cool about what we're doing, and I'll use the word cool because we're in the crypto space, so we can be candid and open with everything. We are offering Solana purchases completely fee-free on the platform. So you can go on, you can put whatever amount of money you want to put in. That's from 150 Rand through to whatever you want. And you don't pay any fees when you purchase Solana. So that's, it's available on Revix from this morning. And we've already seen a pretty big uptake in this. I mean, this is sort of the hottest cryptocurrency of this year. And as Kieran mentioned, the transaction throughput of this blockchain is really impressive. The potential further increase actually in the transaction throughput is really impressive. The cost of operating on the blockchain is, I guess, really attractive at this point in time, certainly relative to Ethereum and other blockchains. And I think the most important thing, something we've been talking about for a very long period of time, is to say, well, you've got a lot of speculation in this space. Where is actually the development? Where is the use case behind these different cryptos and blockchains? Well, here you've got over 400 products and projects working on top of Solana. And this is a cryptocurrency that in all earnest really hasn't actually been around for more than 12 months. I mean, sure, they launched the blockchain and all the rest, but it was still in its infancy. So I think there's a lot of potential upside. As we always say, crypto is high risk. This is a super high risk category. Don't ever invest more than you can afford to lose. Do your homework. Start small. We cannot emphasize this enough. This is a space, especially with a cryptocurrency that's gone up over 5,500% over the last 12 months. You do need to look at this and say, okay, well, if I'm going to allocate some money to it, let me do it responsibly. This is not a casino. This is an emerging asset class, and you can put some money in. It can pull back 10, 20, 30%. And that's the sort of the risk that you take for that upside opportunity. And, at Revix, we do promote that. We want to be long-term greedy. when it comes to dealing with clients.
Okay, I like that. Long-term greedy. I mean, this crypto space is risky, but let's also be clear, there's been money made here. And to Kieran's point, I mean, if there's stuff built on top, I was reading about the hackathon that Solana did, and I think the first hackathon 3 years ago, like 10 people arrived, and now this one, 2020, I think it was 3,500. There is tons happening there. We'll leave it there. Sean Saunders, founder at Revix, Kieran Ryan, MoneyWeb contributor as a Solana launches on Revix. Appreciate the morning time, gentlemen. That's it for today. A poll yesterday on our LinkedIn and Twitter profile, FSCA put a slap to 50 million rand fine on Viceroy Research for their January 2018 Capitec report. And not because they were saying go short, but because they say there were false and deceptive statements. You can be wrong, But if you're false and deceptive, different story. Do you think it was fair? 55% of you said yes. 15% of you said nope. You know what? Reports are often wrong. 30% of you said, look, they're not going to pay anyway. A question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter profile where you can go have your vote and your say. These altcoins are on the rise in the crypto world. I mean, do you prefer these new alts, Cardano, Polkadot, Solana, even Ethereum, over Bitcoin, which is the granddaddy of the crypto? Is it Bitcoin all the way? Are you loving yourself some alts, or perhaps it's just crypto not for you at all? The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Kudora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.